Chris. He is the great one. He is our colleague. We are so proud to share the same station with Mark Levin, who, of course, is on every night here, every weeknight at least, 6 to 9 on WMAL. And he joins us now because, a week from tomorrow, Saturday, October 1st, we'll all be live together at the Birchmere for our second WML Free Speech Forum, and we want to talk about that and a lot of other things. Hey, Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. Are you two actually beside each other?
We are.
We are beside, literally, shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. There's a good 5 feet between us.
Yes, very good.
All right. We have our own personal safe space going on here, Mark.
Don't we all?
Hey, Mark, I remember the night that it was rumored that Donald Trump might choose Indiana Governor Mike Pence as his running mate. I remember listening to you that night, and you were cautiously optimistic by that idea. You thought it was a home run choice. And, of course, we know that he did pick him, and you had him on last night. A great kid. You don't have a lot of guests, but you had Mike Pence. What was your impression, and how do you think Mike Pence has contributed to the turnaround for Donald Trump that we've seen in the last month?
You know, the funny thing is they always phrase it as I asked these guys to come up. They've been asking to come on my show for 3 or 4 weeks.
I'm sure.
And I basically said, I mean, to do what exactly? So he came on. I thought he was very good. I asked him, how do you reassure movement conservatives, Reagan conservatives, Tea Party activists? How do you reassure, you know, Cruz and other conservative supporters? And we went down the list of issues. And look, he's Trump's running mate. Trump's going to be his own man. But I think he's having some influence. I could be dead wrong. I even asked him, do you guys consult with each other? You know, one of the raps on Trump was that he doesn't listen to anybody. He says, we talk at least once a day, sometimes twice. We go over our schedules, and we do discuss these issues at some length. So
if Donald Trump were suffering from pneumonia, Mike Pence would probably
know about it, right? Yeah.
Yes, he'd know about it, or a neurological problem for that matter. But yes, so he was pretty good. But the thing is, he doesn't reassure me on these issues, quite frankly. I have no illusions here. Donald Trump is a liberal with some conservative positions. And in my view, he's unreliable on those conservative positions. That said, Hillary Clinton is an Alinsky ideologue, and she's reliably Alinsky ideologue. You know what she did yesterday? Mm. People aren't even paying attention. She just upped the death tax from 55 to 65%.
Right.
I want people to think about that. If you own a farm, you own a small business, you've worked your whole life, you're paying taxes, state taxes, federal taxes, local taxes, and you manage to make a profit, and you want to turn the business over to your kids when you pass away, she wants to take 65% of it, a big chunk, depending on what the value of the property is. And so in the end, if you've actually made something of yourself, you have to sell all that and give it to people who sit on their ass and redistribute wealth and fund massive government waste and all the rest of it. You lose everything you've worked for to pass on to your kids and grandkids. These are the sort of things that do make a difference to me. So while Trump may not be reliable on the tax proposals, he's proposed a pretty good tax proposal. Mm-hmm. She has proposed a lousy tax proposal, and she will get it, and she will push it.
You know, you're right, especially the part about the family farms. They really do take a hit when it comes to the death tax and estate taxes. Look, I want to talk about the upcoming debate. Because we're seeing that game that happens in Washington where everybody, well, you know, Hillary is very good at this. And, you know, everybody's lowering their expectations. How crucial is this debate going to be? Some people believe it may have more people watching debates than any time in the history of debates.
Because it's going to be damn entertaining, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. At least people think it will. People are fed up. I have to be honest. These players, even though there's a minority number of them, these players who are sitting out the national anthem and disgracing themselves and trying to disgrace the country, although they're not, people are turned off. So you have Monday Night Football, and I don't think a lot of people are going to watch it. Their ratings are way down. On the other hand, there's a curiosity factor. There's an entertainment factor. There's a substance factor with this debate. I think it will be massive. There's three of them. I think these debates are very, very important, but even if you trip on the first one, probably the last one is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
It was for Reagan when he had two with Mondale, and it was for Romney when he did great on the first one and blew it on the last one.
Mark, I would love to ask you to talk about another thing that nobody's talking about, and that is President Obama's continuing problems with our relationship with Israel. And it's something that I wish the Republican candidate would talk more about. I think that the American people are instinctively on Israel's side, and we recognize them to be the last bastion of freedom and democracy in that cesspool in the Middle East. And I know you've been focusing on it quite a bit. What is the president doing right now, and what should Israel do?
Well, what Israel should do is play out the clock, because everything Obama touches turns to you-know-what, particularly in the Middle East. Look at it. It's a complete and utter fireball. It is a disaster. Israel's increasingly surrounded, and it's obvious what Israel's doing. It's making closer relationships with India. It's actually making some closer relationships with Russia, with Egypt, with Saudi Arabia, with Jordan, a lot of these Arab Gulf states. Their real enemies, ISIS and Iran. And so I think when Netanyahu spoke at the UN yesterday, which was an incredible speech, he just bashed them.
Yeah.
He attacked them. He called them a farce, and which is exactly what they are. And I was listening to him, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if America had a president like this who actually loves liberty and loves his country? As for Obama, look, I don't mean to be provocative. I've said this for years. I, in my heart, actually believe he's anti-Semitic. I really do. The way he's treated Netanyahu, the way he talks about Israel, the way he withheld arms when they were under attack from Hamas. I mean, who does these sort of things? And it's even worse. People on the Hill tell me that he does things to that little country and forces them into bills and so forth, and forces them into agreements that he wouldn't do to any country. On the other hand, olive branch out to the genocidal murderers who run Cuba.
Yeah.
$150 billion and God knows what else to Iran. There's something that's not right here. Maybe a screw loose, but whatever it is, it is.
All right, well, we are really looking forward to sharing the stage with you on October 1st, Saturday, October 1st, over at the Birchmere for the Freedom Forum. Thanks for joining us again. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
You decided what you're going to wear, Mark? We should really coordinate our outfits.
Yes, I have. I'll wear a baseball cap for sure.
Are you going to? I might do the same. I think we should look like the Beatles at Shea Stadium in that final concert. I think that would be a good thing.
Probably not.
No, not going to happen.
Maybe, no, never mind.
I am the Ringo of the group. You know?
Oh, you
yes,
are?
You are.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, then I would be the cute Beatle.
Which one was that, by the way?
That was McCartney.
You keep telling yourself that. Yeah.
Listen, Mark, we'll see you then, and it's good to have you this morning.
Good
Thanks
talking to you, sir.
God bless. Thanks, guys.